Megan Fun of Sports is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
Everybody, and welcome on into this week's edition of Megan Fun of Sports. The Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA Finals are over, so we are officially in off-season mode, even though we weren't even talking about the Stanley Cup Finals on this show.
No,
Sorry, guys.
I know, but congrats to Vegas. I did see people were excited. I did have to remind a dear close friend that the WNBA Aces also won it. She was like, Vegas won something. I'm like, she's from there. I go, Vegas has won something already. But congrats. I loved seeing people putting their kids in the cup. I love that.
Yeah, the cup is fun. And the handshake line, right? You can't forget about that. But yeah, we have a lot of NBA playoffs to discuss. Mandatory mini camp was this week for the NFL. We got a little baseball to talk about. And of course, you guys, this podcast was made for topics like this. In fact, this story broke minutes after we were done recording last week, and both Megan and I were extremely bummed that we weren't able to discuss with you. But now we've had a whole week to get together all of our thoughts and watch this unfold. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I am talking about Zion Williamson and his baby mama and his girlfriend and the whole fiasco that's going on with that. We are going to dive in later in the show, but we will kick things off the way we always do on this show with our morons and mensches of the week. Megan, who you got?
Okay, so my moron this week is a quote-unquote YouTube personality named Alex Stein. I hesitate to even tell you his name, but he is the man who...
Oh, this is the Brittany Griner.
Yes, he accosted, harassed, screamed slurs and hateful words at Brittany Griner at the Dallas airport. I don't think that location surprises us. And she was traveling with her team. Now, we've been on record. We're pro Brittany Griner. Brittany Griner is now back in the U.S., thankfully, is playing basketball again where she belongs. It's so strange to me, these people that are like, I'm a patriot. And it's like, but you're on Russia's side? Like, she's an American and she was held in Russia for what they're saying is weed. I guess my moron also is who is still letting the WNBA teams just travel out in the world with the regular people. Megan, you travel more than any of us. It's dog eat dog out there. Okay. Oh, yeah. It's hell hath no fury, like
Especially this time of the year, you don't want to be.
Oh, terrible. Absolutely
yeah, this
terrible.
Is the worst. This is the worst. I had a flight so delayed the other day that they said, you know what, we're going to do it tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. I was supposed to get...
Call it.
Yeah, that's it.
And so at WNBA, they've been begging for charters so they do not have to be traveling with the general public for instances like this. It's not just like, oh, it'd be nicer to fly private. Obviously, it would. But these athletes face actual terrifying situations. The police had to come. The entire Mercury team had to be sequestered in a certain area where this man couldn't get to them. Like, this is just a ticking time bomb. It's only going to get worse because now he's gotten publicity and I'm sure it's doing numbers for his YouTube fest. And so people are going to keep doing this and accosting them, and they can do it to anyone they want. And it's like, they just shouldn't be in the airport. Now they need sponsors to charter these flights. I don't have any money, but we know how much money is wasted in this world. Like, just throw the ladies some jets. Okay.
Yeah. Let's start a GoFundMe for private jets for the WNBA team.
Yes.
I agree, though. This is terrible. This poor woman has been through enough. So just leave her alone. Okay. My moron of the week is actually myself. I told you and Eddie that I had a very funny story to tell you. I don't know if it's going to come through in my storytelling how funny it was, but I was hosting the show at work in Connecticut on Monday night. The show ends at 11:35, and like typical television production, the second we go off the air, everybody is racing for the door. I am notorious for forgetting things, leaving things behind. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take my time. I have nowhere to be. I have a 5 a.m. flight tomorrow, but I'm not going to sleep anyways. So I'm going to take my time, pack up all my things, you know, put it together. I called the Uber. Now, this building that I am in is completely fenced off. You cannot get in and you can't get out without a pass. Now, since I don't work there regularly, even though I kind of do, I don't have a badge. I don't have a badge to get in.
Well, we got to get you a badge.
Of the building. Yes, that is the lesson of this whole story, but I do not have a badge. So call the Uber. Uber arrives. He's at the gate. So I said, you know, I will meet you at the gate. And I tell him, you need to hit the button so that security can let you in. Hits the button. We wait. We wait. We're waiting. We're waiting. No answer. Hit it again. You know, we're waiting. We're waiting for 5 minutes. No answer from security. So I say to this Uber driver, it's well after midnight at this point.
Yeah.
I say to this Uber driver, can you go to the other gate and maybe hit that button? And that won't work.
No. So you're asking the other a lot. Gate, you're asking a lot.
That button. Still no answer. So I say, you know, if you don't mind, let me just run in, see if I can flag down security so that they can let this whole situation, you know, end. So I go, I'm knocking on the window. Security's nowhere to be found, which is very bizarre because they're always right up front.
And also kind of scary. Like it's like,
yeah, a little
what's
weird.
Going on?
And so at this point, I realize that I am a zoo animal trapped inside of this fenced in
with
area.
An Uber driver. Who was the Uber? Man, woman, cool,
man,
not cool,
man. Okay. Very nice. I mean, some people would have been like, listen, ma'am, I'm sorry. I'm not waiting for you.
But places like Connecticut, Indiana, when I get Ubers, it's like they got all the time in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
and it is
here in LA.
It's
like, this is a hustle. This is a business. The Uber drivers in these other states, they're doing it for fun. Like they're like, they just like to meet people. And you're like, okay, sure.
Exactly. So I get to back to the fence and I say to my Uber driver, I can't find anybody to let us out. And he looks at me and he's like, I think you're going to have to hop the fence. And I'm like, I think you're right. I'm going to have to hop the fence. So I'm wearing an Ultimate Warrior sweatshirt and I am in full glam because I was just on TV.
Oh,
so this Uber driver is now trying to help me hop this fence. And so I'm climbing this fence. And as I'm mid climb, suddenly security appears.
Yeah, probably because they saw someone trying to climb the fence.
So security comes running after, ma'am, what are you doing? I said, I work here. I swear I work here.
What are you doing, security?
So they say, where is your badge? I say, I don't have one. And they say, how do you work here and not have a badge? You know, I'm wearing this Ultimate Warrior sweatshirt. They probably think I'm just some crazy wrestling fan trying to break into the headquarters at midnight. I cut my arm. I realize I haven't had a tetanus shot in a long time because I've been avoiding that like the plague. So anyways, security caught me trying to hop a fence, not, you know, to do anything bad, but just to get home.
To get out. But where was security? Did you ask them?
They said they took a 15-minute break.
Oh, okay. Well, then that seems like that's on them to come out. A 15-minute break, but 15 minutes is enough time for someone to break in and break out. So it's like, shouldn't there be someone else on duty when there's a 15-minute break happening?
I am a good fence hopper, and this fence... there's no chance I was getting over it without ripping my entire outfit. So I think the facility is pretty safe. They got it locked down pretty good. But yeah, somewhere there exists footage of me hopping a fence trying to get out of work. So whoever has that, just, you know,
send it to me.
Be mindful before you release the hounds.
Send it to me. MidwestMama@gmail.com.
Is that really your email?
No. I would never say my email on here, even though there's 10 people listening. I don't need them coming to me. Okay, Eddie, give us your moron this week.
My moron is similar to kind of what you said, Megan, about, you know, people looking for clickbait and clout online. And I'm sure you guys by now have seen this insane story about Baby Gronk, more so the father of Baby Gronk here, and obviously not blame the kid whatsoever. This
so I have not seen the story, and I'm about to Google it right now. Baby
Megan,
Gronk. I have not. I've been on the road.
I'm about to call Child Protective Services. I mean, they probably don't even need to be called. They're
so
probably
can you explain
this.
To me what sure. Baby Gronk
yes.
is?
Sure.
Yes.
He is basically a peewee football player. Who
10 years old.
The father is just absolutely obsessed with the path of his career and says that he's not like other kids his age. He does not care. He only is focused on winning and injuries don't bother him. And he trains and he never, he just basically saying that he's like his mentality right now is NFL ready. And this dad is, so to speak, pimping him around to different, you know, first it was colleges, like, you know, the big, big story was the LSU visit, and he's wearing all this insane gear. But then it kind of spiraled into this gross, like, the dad is going on podcasts and other shows with him, and he's like sliding into the DM of literally
every
single popular, like, NFL, former NFL player. I've seen Chris Long tweet about it. You know, Taylor Lewan will calm the new Boston with the boys. He's bothering them. Like, obviously, part of my take, like, all the,
I just saw he's also sliding into hot women's DMs.
Yes,
part of it early on with Livy Dunn, the LSU gymnast too,
which is really creepy because she's like maybe 18, 19.
There's a video of baby Gronk and her where it's everything is so bizarre. But Eddie, I think sort of what tipped the scales was this podcast video that came out.
Sure. He's like feeding him lines and stuff. And my whole thing is this, like, number one, and this is insane to even get into this in terms of like the athleticism, but it's like this kid could end up being like 5'8", like 150 pounds and not be an NFL player. Like, I'm a humongous person and I couldn't even sniff the one ball. It's just ridiculous to think that because you're doing viral videos and you're 10 years old, you're going to amount to something. Like, this kid could hit puberty and it may not go well, and then he's just screwed. And then the other aspect, the more nauseating aspect, especially for me as a person who I do seemingly, I'm online on Twitter a lot just basically because of the job, but I pretty much despise all social media, and just seeing the father kind of lean into it, and you're forcing this kid in this path. And like Megan, you just mentioned, like, going on these podcasts and on these shows and like feeding him lines to try to gain the popularity, you're going to make your kid, like, he's going to get bullied. Like, this kid is going to get beat up everywhere he goes when there's tougher, stronger kids than him. And the dad just really needs to, like, he needs a reality check. It's just as bad as could be. And this is the problem with most people in 2023. They have these visions of grandeur and they think they're more important than they are. And you're not, baby Gronk. So I'm sorry that your dad is a total a-hole.
I feel bad for him because this isn't his fault at all.
No, he's a child.
This is his dad's fault. Apparently,
the dad's name is Jake San Miguel. I was not expecting him to look the way he did.
Apparently,
I saw the dad. I was like, oh, wait.
Apparently, this 10-year-old has a verbal offer to play at the University of Arizona.
Which isn't real. You know, that's like, I'm sure a coach was like, yeah, call me when you're 16. And he was like, well, he's playing there. No, everything about
I did not expect his dad to look like this either. He's worse than the Ball family.
Yes. Well, and you know, I've really turned around on Mr. Ball because I watched all of Ball and the Family, and I actually really like the family now. Look, the dad actually has some good points. Okay, Eddie, great moron. My mensch this week is Ognjenja. I hope I'm saying that right. I watched so many videos to try and pronounce it properly. Ognjenja Jokić, Nikola Jokić's one-year-old daughter. She absolutely stole the show of what ended up being kind of a boring finals, if we can be honest. They win in five. The final game, not great. But then they win at home. The Nuggets win in Denver. And so the Jokić brothers are there, blah, blah, blah. The daughter comes down. She's in this like custom jacket and little custom shoes. And she is about as excited as her dad is. Like, she's just sort of like awed and taking it in. And I kept thinking, like, she's only a few months older than Conrad, and being like, what would Conrad be doing in this situation? She had this cute little shirt on called Tata. She just got the little chunky cheeks. She's so sweet. He had her front and center and everything. She was reacting to no one, which I love, even though people are like cheering and pouring stuff. She's just like, what is going on? And she is my finals MVP, Ognjenja Jokić.
It is funny because you said she's as excited as her father, which her father, he didn't seem very excited.
He seemed bothered.
We're going to talk about that when we talk about the NBA finals. But I have to get to my mensch of the week, who is Adam Hadwin. You guys, man, golf is back. Obviously, this week we have the PGA Championships in LA.
I know. I didn't even realize it was in LA until yesterday.
How did you not realize? You haven't seen all of the commercials for it?
No. I've seen nothing.
Oh my God. Well, listen, I haven't seen anything baby Gronk until I just Googled it.
we're passing ships content wise.
Yes. Well, Adam is Nick Taylor's best friend in the world. So Nick Taylor won this past weekend, and he hit a dramatic
The Canadian Open. Very
he important. Hit a dramatic, sunk a dramatic 72-foot putt to insane. Win the Canadian Open. And his best friend just wanted to celebrate. So he is sitting there with champagne. He rushes right out onto the green to spray the champagne and celebrate. Security has no idea who this is.
No.
So just tackles him like nobody's business, was immediately notified like, hey, he's cool. He's all right.
Yeah, they actually figured it out pretty fast.
Yes.
Because it's like, he's just a white guy in a golf shirt. So it's like, that's everyone here.
And Megan, that gets back to your point about how all golfers sort of look the same.
Yes.
When they're in their hat.
And the spectators. You know, like, it's like, it's not like these guys are physically that different, even in stature and muscle. It's like, yeah, they look like dads.
Yeah. I mean, like, if this happened in the NBA, it would be like, oh, that's
he's whatever 7 feet player, tall.
You know, like, right. They obviously stand out, not these golfers. But I'm giving Adam my mensch of the week just for the way that he handled this situation. As a white woman named Megan with the haircut that I have, just look like someone who is going to complain all the time and go to talk to somebody's manager about this. And I think if I was put in that situation, people would say, oh, there's going to be a lawsuit. But with Adam, you knew right away, this is all cool. This is cool. Yeah. I don't care that you just tackled me. I think he was a great sport about it. And it shows that he's a true friend, because if he's willing to get tackled to celebrate with his bestie after winning the Canadian Open, I think that he'd be willing to do just about anything.
I was honestly surprised that Canadians were this fast to resort to violence. You know, this feels very American to be like, tackle him. And, you know, I'm against security. Like when they tackled that man who was trying to propose, it's like, oh, you know, I know they're doing something wrong, but do you need to fully level them? But I said, oh, okay. Even in Canada, they, you know, they took a page out of our book. But Megan, you make a great point. You and I, we could be maybe sort of like superheroes. I'm imagining us like back to back, arms crossed, and we turn to the camera and we say, killer Karens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Eddie, give us your mensch this week.
Sure. I figured I'd tackle the NHL, the Stanley Cup, so you guys don't have to. Wrap up notes here, a couple mentions to give out. I'll start with the losing team, the Florida Panthers. Matthew Tkachuk, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he's the best player on the team, one of the best players in the league. Got hurt. NHL is very big on not specifically naming the injury, because then players can obviously target it.
I like that.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense for the league. So then he plays in game four, scores in game four, but we find out after the loss yesterday, that's when all the injuries start to trickle out. I believe it was John Buchagross tweeted it, that his brother Brady, who plays in the league as well for the Senators, he players nap before the games. Brady had to lift Matt up like before and after his nap to ensure that he could sleep, because he had a broken sternum.
Oh my gosh.
He played in game four with a broken sternum and scored. And he obviously missed game five. They got blown out. Obviously,
hockey guys, man, they are born
just
different.
Insane. So I gotta tip my cap to him on this. The other mensch on the Vegas Knights, the winning team, say, well, obviously mensch is the entire Vegas Knight team. March or so winning the Conn Smythe. He's an original Vegas Knight member. 6 years ago, the owner said they're gonna win a cup in 6 years. They did that. It's pretty remarkable. And you know, seeing like Bruce Cassidy go from the Boston Bruins, he got fired last year. They hire a coach. They go, obviously, tremendous regular season, record-breaking record season. They lose to the Florida Panthers. Then their ex-coach goes and wins it with the Knights. That's insane. And then Jack Eichel going through his, you know, shipping out of Buffalo, having a, so to speak, relatively experimental neck surgery called ADR, where they change out your disc in your spine. He has and he comes back and plays, and they were just, you know, they go and trade for him. They go and trade for Mark Stone. Big gamble moves. They both paid off. Jack Eichel winning a cup, the number two pick behind Connor McDavid, beating McJesus to a cup, is also insane. So just so many mensch type awards going out for this playoffs. And it was, you know, there's a reason why it was the most watched playoffs in a while in 21 years, I believe it was. Oh. Awesome job all around. So the Knights, they well deserved. And that was a lot of fun.
And congrats to the NHL then, too.
Eddie, thank you for the mensch and for the hockey update, because Lord knows we were not going to cover it in this podcast.
I also have a tennis update.
I was just going to say another topic that I don't know much about, but my husband was watching the
French Open. Yeah, so Novak Djokovic won his 23rd Grand Slam title, winning the French Open this past weekend. He now holds the record for most Grand Slams. He was tied with Rafael Nadal and then won this, and now he is in the lead. Mm-hmm. I do think this makes some people say he's the GOAT. He also has a very varied win record. Rafael Nadal won a ton of French Opens, and Sampras won a bunch of Wimbledons, and so they were sort of specialists. Mm-hmm. Federer's is sprinkled around a little bit more. Djokovic's is sprinkled around even more. A lot of them are Australian Opens, which people consider the least prestigious and least difficult to win, but he is not my GOAT just because I don't like him. But Tom Brady was in attendance for the finals match. There was pictures of them. They sort of greeted each other after the win. They're actually very similar.
He was sitting with Djokovic's wife, yeah, right?
At first,
I was like, who's that woman? And Andrew was like,
yeah, she's very pretty. I used to follow her on Instagram, and then I had to get out of there. But they're very similar. I think they both think they're smarter than everyone, which honestly, the more I analyze it, may just be a trait you have to be a great athlete.
I think so.
To be like, no, I'm a genius too. It's like, okay. So two goats in attendance, and I guess congrats.
You're not a Djokovic fan?
Well, you know, Djokovic fans did once DM me that they hoped my son got taken away from me. So, no, I don't love them. But big week for Serbians.
But you acknowledge him, right? Like, he's incredible. I acknowledge him. Yeah.
No, they're both incredible athletes. And a truly devastating and heartbreaking story that's been developing over the last few days. Olympic gold medalist Tori Bowie died during childbirth.
It happened just outside of Orlando, Florida. Yes. I am a active member in the running community here in Orlando, Florida, and a lot of people in the running community around here knew her, were familiar with her training group. And when she died, this was it shook the, you know, running world in general. And then this week to learn that it was about a complication with childbirth is even more troubling.
It's so sad. It also seems like, oh my God, how could this happen? And the sad reality is this happens far too often, especially to Black women who are at like a 300 times more likely to become very ill or die during childbirth than their white counterparts. 32 years old. She was 8 months pregnant. The baby also died, and just so tragic, so sad. I think this will help raise awareness about some of the issues that led to her death, but really so devastating. And my heart goes out to her family and to the running community she was a part of.
She was a 2016 Rio Olympic silver medalist. 100, and then the 100 meters, she won the bronze medal. And she was a member of the 4x100 meter team with Allison Felix, English Gardner, and they did win a gold medal. So thoughts to her, her teammates, all of those who loved her and trained with her, worked with her, whatever they did, thinking of all of those impacted by the loss. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk all things NBA.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and so much more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. Must be 21 plus. Must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? In Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris Philadelphia, if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or in Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In Colorado, Washington, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. In Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. In Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. In Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. Okay, we are back. And we mentioned the NBA finals are complete. And Megan, my biggest takeaway from these finals, the Nuggets are your champions. They hoisted the Larry O'Brien trophy. My biggest takeaway here, we talked about Jokic. God, this is tough. I mean, we had Djokovic. And now we have Jokic.
They're both Serbian.
This is tough. We're going to get through this. But the Joker, as I am going to call him for the sake of me not messing up throughout this podcast, he won me over throughout this playoffs. I know we talked last week about how he's lacking in the personality department and maybe the marketing team around the Nuggets need to do a better job. I don't think so anymore. I mean, he just won me over with his post-game presser when he was asked if he was going to be attending the parade that was going to take place on Wednesday. And without hesitation, the Joker says, no, I need to go home.
I need to go home. and I actually think maybe the PR did get in his ear. What I think happened is he just leaned into who he was.
Well, I just think it's so relatable. He's like, listen, I don't want to celebrate. All I want to do is be left alone, which I think a lot of people can relate to.
He's like, I want to get out of Denver. This isn't my home. He's like, I'd rather go back to Serbia than
I have horses there. I have a family there. I'm done. I spent enough time with all of you people. Now, please leave me alone. You got your championship.
Even his champagne spray, it was very like, it was, you know, a bachelorette that does not want to be getting married. So the sort of the cultural standouts too, I was getting sent a lot. Peyton Manning sitting courtside.
Is this troubling for you?
Yes, it's very troubling. The way Peyton embraces Denver, it drives me insane because it's like you were there so briefly. Yes. Obviously, Indy is your football home, I'm going to say, even though I'm not Peyton, I'm going to say that for him. What I think this is, because a friend who's a Colts fan sent to me and said he loves Denver so much more. And I was like, I actually don't think he does. I think he loves Indy more. I think he probably likes the Broncos ownership more, though. Jim Irsay, whose birthday was yesterday, same birthday as my mom, was asked a few weeks ago his favorite NFL players, and he didn't have Peyton as number one. I don't even think Peyton was in the top three. And it's like, Jim, what are we doing? So I think Peyton really embracing Denver is a way to stick it to Colts ownership. That's what I'm telling myself so I can feel like I'm still the most important ex-wife.
He did look great in orange, I will say. That big forehead looked really good in orange. I think he might like Denver a little bit better.
Okay, fine. So then they
300 days a year of sunshine. I mean, what's not to love?
Jokic says, get me the out of here. So I guess there's some things not to love.
But listen, he's from Serbia. You don't get sunshine in Serbia. He doesn't want the sunshine. He prefers it dark and gloomy. He wants to get back home so he can be miserable.
And not have to put sunscreen on. Okay. Yes. So Sierra and Russell Wilson were also in attendance. New Broncos head coach Sean Payton.
Matt Hackett didn't get the invite. It's tough to see.
Sean Payton, I go, I don't like him.
Really? Megan, he is beloved.
Not by me.
I am surprised. Nope. Why? What issue could you possibly have with Sean Payton?
Well, the Saints beat the Colts in a Super Bowl. And then it's not even like, what was it when he was paying players to hurt other players? I don't really even care about that. You know what it is? They cut to him and he was talking to his wife so intensely. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of that meme of the guy like explaining something to the girl and she doesn't care. It was like every time they cut to him, he's just like saying something. And it's like, just let the lady live. Okay. Just let her look around. Let her chat with people next to her. Like, she does not need you telling her about basketball.
So I think our big takeaways from these finals are, what the heck happened to Jimmy Butler in the finals? We love Eric Spoelstra, half Filipino, right? Or is it a quarter? Half Filipino.
King.
So we love him. Jokic and the brothers have moved up in my book. Listen, I obviously respected him as a player, but now I respect the true.
Oh, no, Megan,
I respect the honesty.
I'm saying oh no to me, because yesterday I was like, you know what? Sometimes I think the brothers are kind of hot, and then someone sent me a picture. I think we're maybe having forever beer goggles when we're seeing them, because someone sent me a picture and they are actually very not hot.
They are hotter than their brother.
That's what we're reacting to.
Yes.
And the energy feels fun. I don't know. There's something about it. But so congrats to the Nuggets. I know people that won a bunch of money on this. So,
you know who is hot though? He's young, but Michael Porter Jr. I see you.
Yeah. What was his thing? He definitely had a thing that wasn't great.
He had a not so great game in game three and then game.
No, I'm thinking off court.
Oh, off court. Let me do a quick, well, speaking of off court, I mean, yes,
we got to get to our real story
right now. It's Zion Williamson. And oh boy, is there some drama. So his baby mama to be, I know you don't like that term, so I just want to apologize in advance, but he does
sometimes
have
we don't know what else to call people. Yes. A woman that he is having a child with, it was announced, they did I think it was a gender reveal, or maybe it was just like a overall baby announcement. And then a gal, a working gal named named Mariah Mills unloaded a series of tweets that have not stopped. We are now on day 7 of Mariah Mills tweeting screenshots of conversations, photos of Zion reacting to pictures of her body, things Zion said, stuff she said to Zion. I mean, it is some of the messiest stuff I've ever seen. And having read almost all of it and being sent a lot of it, I've come out firmly on Zion's side. I don't know what this woman expected from him. She's clearly upset. And it's so much so that I'm like, oh, I bet these older retired NBA players are like, wow, you guys are making a lot more money than we did, but your hoes are messy.
Well, she hasn't held back whatsoever. I know you are a Zion apologist and you were the number one person defending Zion when everybody else was weight shaming and body shaming Zion, because he has put on a lot of weight. He hasn't played many games. Obviously,
but now he's lost
the number one
weight.
Overall pick. He's lost some of the weight, but
according to Mariah, because of her.
Yes. Mariah said that this new woman is one of the reasons that he got fat. Mariah said that she was one of the reasons that he's stayed slim. But there is a silver lining for Mariah. So she is an adult film star. And ever since this news dropped on June 7th, her name received a 2,293% jump in the website search engine. At the time of this reporting, she was ranked number 91 in Pornhub's porn star ranking and number 34
for that week in comparison to her number 173 ranking.
And this is why I think she's doing it. I actually don't think she cares about Zion. I don't think she thought she was going to be Mrs. Zion Williamson. I don't even think she wants to be. I think this is all a publicity stunt for her career.
Well, she was the third most trending porn star on Pornhub. So it's like
she's savvy. I just wish it wasn't at the expense of my sweet Zion, because like none of it, it's like, oh, you didn't think this NBA player was having sex with other women. Like I know that. I was upset at one point because he did text her, "Know any thick white girls who would want to join us?" And I was very offended that she did not send my name back. As a thick white girl, Zion, I'd be down. I think my husband would be okay with it. And Mariah, like, don't leave us thick white girls out here flapping in the wind alone.
I am not a thick white girl, so I think I'm ruled out from this scenario here. But I do just want to share this one little quick quote that Mariah said. She apparently, this all happened, the conception of Zion's baby with this other woman,
DJ, happened
around Valentine's Day. Mariah was supposed to see Zion on Valentine's Day, but unfortunately she was unable to. And she said this, "I wish I would have came and seen you on Valentine's Day as you wanted me to, but I was still sick from my failed butt reduction surgery in December. So I was on bed rest until March as requested from my doctor."
Which now, is a long time for an adult film star. That's a lot. Like, I hope she's getting workers' comp.
But then because she got this butt reduction, Zion knocked up another woman. Yeah. Apparently, Zion could have two women pregnant because Mariah also informed the internet that she's late. So I just think we need to get all of these people on Maury right now. It will be the most watched episode of Maury where we find out if Zion truly is, in fact, the baby daddy of these babies, or one baby. There could
I have so many questions about the butt reduction. I'd like a 2020 Dateline-esque special, because it's like, was it a butt implant that then she was having reduced, or was it her natural butt that she was having reduced?
I'm going to say implant, but I could be wrong. Yeah, and I would like to know.
To be out from December to March, like, you know, I'm glad she's recouping some money now. But it's all been so messy. Zion just seems so, like, innocent to me. So, you know, like, I just think of him as sort of childlike. But I wish everyone in this scenario the best possible outcome for them and their fake butts.
Well, it is highly entertaining, and it does beg the question, who is having a worse off season, John Morant or Zion Williamson? Look, Ja's got some issues, but at least he respects women.
I think Zion respects women too.
I don't know. I don't know. Mariah
doesn't
think so.
A lot of women. I think he respects a lot of women. You know who does not respect mascots is Conor McGregor. Oh boy, I've seen the video now. He was doing a bit with the Heat mascot, and he took it too far, as he always does.
Yes,
and
he does.
Part of this is on the Heat to go, yeah, we knew this was going to go poorly. He punched the mascot too hard when they were doing this bit that the mascot had to go to the emergency room. Now, do you think the mascot shows up in mascot gear, or they like take the head off, take the body off, and send him as the real person?
I think while cameras are rolling, I mean, you got to send them off in the whole gimmick gear. And then as soon as they're like, all right, take this off.
You can't trust Conor McGregor to not punch someone the hardest he can punch someone.
And please stay away from my Kings, Benny the Bull, and stuff at the Magic, because I love those two mascots. Don't mess with them.
You know, my friend, you're really going to have to follow this. My friend's mom was married to Benny the Bull, and Benny the Bull got arrested for selling drugs in his Benny the Bull costume.
I mean, I'm sure they had to really dig deep to find out that mystery, because they're like, oh, there's no way Benny the Bull is a drug dealer.
No, nope, just
was he selling like hard drugs or just weed?
Hard.
Oh, Benny, stop it.
He's got his little red furry legs out. So we are sending well wishes to the Heat mascot, Connor. No more bits for you. No more, no more comedy things. I do know someone who like filmed something with Floyd Mayweather once where Floyd was supposed to like grab them. And again, he grabbed him too hard and he got hurt. It's like, they don't know stage fighting. They only know real fighting.
No, they really don't. It is pretty funny. Just back to Zion really quick, because I just went to my Google page. If you Google Mariah Mills, like, the videos that come up are a little...
Her nipples look so hard.
Wild.
Yeah. No, her boobs were like the hardest looking things I've ever seen. And on that note, let's take our last break and we'll be right back.
All right, we are back. And you know what else is back is football, sort of, kind of. Mandatory mini camp was this week. So I you got a little taste of football. You got to see the guys running around. We don't really know what any of it means, but there has been some news that has come out of it. And one of those little headlines is that Bryce Young was promoted to QB1, which... we knew it was going to happen eventually. I kind of think it's dumb that they even had him listed as anything but quarterback number one. But that's what's going on there. There is a little bit of trouble in paradise, and we need to do a wellness check on our dear friend Eddie Spaghetti, because Saquon Barkley says if a deal isn't made by July 17th, he's prepared to sit
the season. Eddie?
I mean, I'm not really worried in the least.
Okay, great.
As of today, I believe it was Ian Rappaport that said that they're actually bringing back the original offer of like $14 million a year to the table again. So it's like, if he takes it, great, we have him. He's a difference maker. It's this weird fine line with running backs where you have certain guys who clearly improve the team if they're not on the roster. The Giants without Saquon, you're not as hopeful as another playoff, you know, appearance, playoff victory. But then the other bad side of that is like, well, if you're paying him over $10 million a year, you're like, well, he's a running back. He doesn't deserve it. So there's like really no winning in this scenario. Ultimately, I do think he will be a Giant relatively soon. I'm not that concerned.
I feel awful for running backs. It feels like a trend.
It feels like a trend, though, where it's just like, oh, you guys just like aren't. You're just not as important anymore. I know Jonathan Taylor, the Colts and him started contract negotiations again today. But it's like, yeah, even sometimes I go, where's Todd Gurley? Like the league just runs through them, and they used to be so instrumental and high paid and important. And we're just kind of in a down cycle of their importance.
And the game has changed so much, and just their, there's a lot of miles on the body. I mean, we saw this week, Dalvin Cook released by the Vikings. The Broncos are not interested at all. Patriots, they released running back James Robinson. It's tough because I understand why teams are doing it from a business perspective, but it is sad to watch these running backs who their careers are over at 27.
Yeah.
They lead the league in rushing 1 year, and 2 years later, they're out of the league.
I know. Very sad. If I was giving advice to any of them as a woman who's never played a down of football, I would say try and make yourself valuable in as many areas outside of just running the ball. Be a great blocker.
Yeah, look like Brandon Bolden, you know, yes, for the Patriots. He's been on the roster
forever. Make yourself important on special teams. Make yourself really, you know, there's tight ends that aren't great tight ends, but they protect the quarterback really well. So it's like,
you look at someone like Matthew Slater. He's on the Patriots as a exclusively special team guy, and he's a locker room leader. So something like that, we need to find job security for these running backs and put some respect on their names. But I get it, because listen, when I'm doing my fantasy draft, I also get the running back thing.
Yeah. But when you have a good one, it's huge. Like, yes. I just think from the Colts aspect, it's like I guess Jonathan Taylor was the best in the league and we still didn't make the playoffs because of Carson Wentz. So maybe I'm disproving my own theory, but I think of someone like Jonathan Taylor. And I bet Saquon has these qualities too, of just being like a leader too. So it's like, it's not just the on-field stuff. Also someone smart who can help guys along and is just an integral part of the offense on and off the field.
But how much are we going to pay someone to be a leader?
Well, I mean, you should see what some of these idiots out here make, like that run Netflix, and they're not even leaders.
The Browns unveiled a new logo. Did you see it? You have thoughts? No, I'm you good. Didn't see it.
I'll look it up. You know, I'm out on the Browns. I don't even know what the further notice will be, because it's like, yeah, I like that dog. I've always liked the dog. The dog is good.
I like the logo. It's nice. Dog lovers out there. Yeah, I bought some joints recently in Chicago, and they are called dog walkers, and they're, you know, they give money to animal shelters. That's and nice. They have they're like built this, you know, they're made the size for if you're walking your dog just to
That's
have,
cute. I yeah. do think it's like I see this and I go, "Oh, I like that dog." This also looks like a lot of men that live in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's sort of dual purpose, where it's like it's the mascot, but it's also like the unofficial mascot who is the fan.
Well, speaking of someone else you don't like, JJ Watt. He is entering the Texans Ring of Honor on October 1st.
Who else
1st.
Is in that? One? If it's a ring, there's got to be more than one person. It's like, yeah, you could just say it's like the statue, just the one guy.
I know you don't like JJ Watt, so I knew the story was just going to...
Well, I just don't know who else is in the Texans Ring of Honor.
I'm going to Google it right now. Texans Ring of Honor.
Put Lovie Smith in there just for his fun hygiene.
His beard. I'm Googling it right now. Texans Ring of Honor. Who's in it? Who's in the Texans Ring of Honor? Oh, we have Robert McNair, Andre Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's all it says right here. So,
well,
the ring is still being completed.
The trio of honor. The three amigos of honor.
Hey, I think JJ deserves it. He did have.
Put him in there. I think he should be the only one.
But then it can't be a ring.
That's my point.
What else do we got? Mac Jones says that he's going to do everything he can to regain the respect of the Patriots locker room. And Boston Sports Talk Radio was not inspired by Mac Jones' performance at mandatory minicamp. So things are not off to the best start.
Leave Mac alone. Let Mac fly. And I think that you guys just have to stop being so mean to Mac.
I think that is true as well. And the whole Bailey Zappi thing didn't do Mac Jones any favors last year. Just give the guy a little bit of a break.
Also, it's like, who's in that locker room that has a ton of respect? You know, it's not like he's standing tiny amongst a bunch of giants. They're all Mac Joneses. So it's like, maybe some of them should earn his respect.
I agree. You are preaching to the choir here. DeAndre Hopkins is allegedly visiting with the Titans, and it was reported that he was visiting with the Patriots, but Bill Belichick has not quite addressed it, and there's been rumors that he's not coming, so I'm not really sure if he's going to eventually make his way to New England or not, but he's definitely stopping in Nashville.
Okay, now Megan, I'm ready to talk some baseball. Can you believe it?
You are?
Yes. So when you sent the video of the end of the Canadian Open, I loved it. And then on our good friend Sal's Twitter, I saw a hilarious video of Yankees announcer John Sterling being hit by a foul ball. Now, that's not funny. I shouldn't be laughing. But the way he reacts, he gets hit. And that's my fear. I'm going to the Dodgers White Sox game tonight. And all I'll think about all day is I hope I don't get hit by a ball. So he gets hit by a ball and he goes, ow, ow. Oh, oh, but he doesn't say any curse words. And it's like, Megan, the last few weeks, all we've been talking about is these announcers that are saying accidental slurs and saying terrible words. One of them, I think, said big black. Like, what is going on?
We
in their
played
minds?
That one on the show.
John Sterling gets whacked in the head and he keeps it professional. He just goes, oh, it was so funny. And then the Yankees went on to win. And he was like, that really hurt. Yankees win. It was so hilarious and so fun. And he is an elder. He's like,
he's old,
85 years old.
He probably got one of those gross old people bruises that just looks like you're bleeding for 3 months.
Oh, those are devastating. I feel so bad for those. But yes, as I said, I am going to my first Dodgers game of the season. Dodgers,
they're
going to
win.
Sox.
They're going to win.
I wrote in the rundown, should we put a friendly wager on it? Megan, you love friendly wagers. And you said, no, you won't even take anything.
I just listen. What do you want? I'll give it to you right now. No, I thought you'd be like,
yeah, fun. Liam Hendricks. I don't know.
He's probably going to need Tommy John now, Megan. He's on the 60-day IL.
I didn't know that.
Oh, being a White Sox fan is just miserable. Especially the way that they've been losing games. Not last night. They lost that game in the first inning. So it's fine. I had 8 other innings to process my emotions. But when I'm there on Saturday, you know, they have a 1-0 lead. There's been like 5 hits the entire ball game. And who comes trotting out of the pen is Joe Kelly. And Andrew and I look at each other and we go, well, we're going to lose this one. Sure enough, Joe Kelly loads the bases up and the White Sox end up losing that one. The bats are dead right now. Completely dead. They can't do anything. Tim Anderson, who was my king heading into the year, he's hit 0 home runs throughout the season. A lot of fantasy owners are not happy. They are dropping him. They are benching him. Yesterday, I officially decided that Luis Robert has moved into position number 1 for my favorite baseball players right now. Tim Anderson was there and I'm done with him. I don't think he wants to be in Chicago. He's not playing like he wants to be in Chicago. We have this bullpen situation.
There's no place better than Chicago in the summer. It's a disaster. Joe Kelly's glasses guy, right?
Yeah, Joe Kelly is the most below average closer of our lifetime.
Amazing.
And he still continues to get jobs. So he is just known for blowing games or loading the bases and then striking 3 guys out just to get you close enough to give you a heart attack. So Kelly, if Joe Kelly can keep a job in Major League Baseball, I think we should all be getting raises.
It gives us a lot of hope. I'm mostly excited. I think I'm probably going to have a hot dog. You know, I haven't had nachos in the helmet in years. Mm-hmm. And so I might get some helmet nachos. I'm going with our neighbors. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that it was the White Sox, I was like, oh boy, the White Sox. And I go way back. And my neighbor said that he would refuse to drive me if I wore anything White Sox. And I said, I'll be in my Mookie Betts jersey. But I just need you to know my cousin does work for the White Sox. And one Sazi Gian told me if I wanted to be famous in this country, I should murder someone. So,
oh my God, I can't believe you've talked to Ozzie Gian before.
Yes, one on one.
Oh my God. I love him so much. He followed me on Twitter and I DM'd him and he still hasn't answered. I actually DM'd him asking him to come on the show and he hasn't answered.
Ozzy.
But he still follows me.
Love you, Ozzy. You got it. And when him telling me to kill someone, he wasn't being mean. He said, look at this country. You want to be famous? Kill someone. And honestly, I'm not going to do it. Listen, it's not terrible advice.
You'll get a documentary made about you.
Yeah. The mama murder. I mean,
just if you're going to do it, you have to kind of leave it up in the air so it doesn't look like you did it. So we leave a little questioning for the people. And we need to have a good
someone that like people do want dead.
Then maybe you're deemed a hero. Also at the White Sox game, it was Margaritaville Day because you are a White Sox fan. It is a minor league baseball franchise. So they give out free giveaways and they have sponsored days and all of those things. So for the first 20,000 fans, they were giving out White Sox Hawaiian t-shirts. There were 21,000 people at the game. So everybody got a t-shirt except for 1,000 people. Oh yeah. Wore it at the game. Very happy with it. It's not, I thought it was going to be littered with promotions, right? But it just has one little Beggar's Pizza logo and the rest is a White Sox Hawaiian shirt. And that was
pretty cute.
That was fun. That was fun to wear. And the day was great until Joe Kelly ruined it. And Tim Anderson, who's now on my list, Joe Kelly did get the induce the ground ball to turn 2 and Tim Anderson completely fumbled it.
Well, go Dodgers. Mookie Betts travels with a full kitchen set up. I watched a video about that. He's like, yeah, I have all my saute pans.
I ate an empanada and a hot dog and had a couple beers. So it was a good time by all.
Okay. I think
empanada at the baseball game is pretty good.
Yeah, an empanada sounds really good. I think I'm probably going to do some margaritas. Mm-hmm. And my neighbors have seen me get loose before. So it's not like one of those things where I need to like be on my best behavior.
I also recommend for hot dogs, there are 2 different kinds at the ballpark. You either go to the one where the hot dog is already packaged and has probably been sitting there and it was made in water, or you find the grill station where you can get the nice dog with the grill marks. I'm a grill gal. I made my husband walk around the stadium to specifically find the grill station. And he told me they're all the same. We can just go anywhere. And I said, no. I need my dog with the grill marks on it. So please don't be a water dog.
I like the bun to be hot and kind of stuck to the dog. Like I like it to be like a little soggy on the dog.
I don't know if I like that. I like it to be a little crispy. Like I like the grill marks, you know, fresh. No,
this is what makes the world go round. I'll keep everyone updated on what I eat. I am going to wear white jeans. So it's like if I get a hot dog and nachos and I can't spill anything on my pants, and I don't know if that's going to work out. That's it.
And also just let it be known. Well, before I went to a White Sox game, the White Sox had won 8 of their last 10. They lost the game I went to. They lost Sunday and they lost yesterday. So since I've gone to a game, they're on a 3-game lose streak. So thank you very much, Chicago White Sox, for running.
I'm so thrilled to see you and Eddie today. Thank you all so much for listening. And that's all we got for you.
We'll see you next week.
Cute sunglasses.
Bye.